Welcome to Meet the Sharks. I'm Trip Tasha, and in this series, I'll be speaking with the sharks of SharkDAO. Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to the show. Today we have Emily with us. She's a core part of the SharkDAO comms team, is the current community manager of our Discord, and has been working on providing an easier onboarding experience for new sharks. Thanks for being here on the show today. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. Excited to be here. And this is my first podcast. So I hope it goes well.
We've had a few first timers on here, so it's kind of neat. So when you joined SharkDAO, you really hit the ground running and immediately helped out where you could. So I'm really interested in getting your thoughts and opinions on things about like all things SharkDAO and NounsDAO. So this is going to be very fun. So I'm excited about that.
Awesome. Yeah. Excited to chat about SharkDAO, NFTs, community, Web3, the whole lot.
Absolutely. All right. Great. So I know your username. I had some issues because I didn't know if it was Catriona or Katrina. And I tried Googling it and it told me the English version and the American version. And I'm like, well, they can't be that much different. And then they were. So what's the story behind the it's Catriona.Emily or Katrina.Emily, your username?
Yeah. So I guess I don't have a pseudonym. So Katriona, it's pronounced Katriona. That's my first name and Emily is my middle name. But I actually changed my name at the beginning of this year. So I actually used to have a different, completely different nickname. And I decided over the Christmas break 2021 that I'm going to change what everyone calls me. So I kind of went through a process of updating all of my socials to have my first name and my middle name so that it wouldn't be such a surprise when I started going by just my middle name. So then I can just drop the Katriona. But yeah, Katriona is a Scottish name. My dad's half Scottish. So that's kind of that's where that comes from.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah, I remember when it was a different username. So that's really neat. So
yeah, it's an interesting process going through the process of changing your name. But I think I'm going to leave the pseudonym thing out of it because I've had enough complications with changing my actual name that I don't want to bring a pseudonym into the mix.
Yeah, it gets complicated.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So my first question just kind of has to do with like NFTs, cryptocurrency. So what's your beginning story with that? How did you get into NFTs and cryptocurrency originally?
Yeah, it's always kind of hard to think about like where do you count the beginning from? So I guess the like real beginning for me was back in like 2016 or 17, my boyfriend he's an investor or he was kind of working in investment at the time. And he kind of learned about Bitcoin. And bought some books, started, you know, creating wallets and investing and reading about it. And I read one of the books that he bought. I forgot what it's called, but it's like just about blockchain and how it works. So I was really fascinated. And back then it felt like this is a really interesting technology that maybe doesn't like have use cases yet. So I was very curious back then. And in Berlin, there were a couple startups like Ocean Protocol that I had a friend join in 2017, and I kind of looked into it, and I thought, you know, maybe I should join. But I've been working at SoundCloud that whole time and as a product manager. So then throughout the time, like I guess the whole bear market was just kind of, watching along from the sides and got really interested in NFTs back when NBA Top Shots kind of took off. We started talking about it at SoundCloud internally in my team and looking into, you know, how could this maybe be applied within what we were doing. So at SoundCloud, I was responsible for helping creators monetize. Like that was the area of the business that I was responsible for. So I started looking into NFTs from that perspective. And then honestly, I also got very interested in not just NFTs as like digital art or music, but actually as ways for fans to own digital collectibles. So more like badges or like coins that represent their fandom or digital ticket stubs. So we were doing a lot of research into how NFTs could be used within fandom communities. So that, I guess that was beginning of 2021. That's when I really got interested. And then throughout 2021, just, got more and more into the space. And then, left my job at SoundCloud in October to kind of go full-time Web3.
Nice. That's really cool. I can see things like SoundCloud eventually merging with it, because music NFTs are going to start blowing up once it gets all figured out. And then, like you mentioned, the digital collectibles with like fan bases. I know that a lot of people are resistant to NFTs right now, and I see it so much, but it makes so much sense that they would like something like this. It's like this barrier that we haven't quite broke through yet. But as far as like collectibles, it's such a huge part of everything. I mean, we already have like sneakerheads kind of get it. And then obviously like sports cards, like you had mentioned, like people going that way. But once we get the fandoms involved, it's going to be huge. I'm shocked that, I don't know. I guess I'm not shocked that they're resistant.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think there's definitely, there's some resistance, and there's also a lot of just lack of understanding, and like the experiences aren't there yet to cater to a more mainstream crowd, I guess. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really up to DAOs and like very Web3 native communities to set the foundation for how NFTs can represent different types of things within those communities. You know, whether that's like a POAP is, you know, could be, it's kind of like a virtual ticket stub or, you know, an NFT ticket stub.
Right.
So like kind of learning through those, you know, very Web3 native communities, and then transposing that over time to more mainstream spaces.
Yeah. And I definitely believe it'll happen, because I think what's being thrown in front of a lot of people does seem very aggressive and scammy, but then you go into DAOs or a lot of these other communities and it's just a lot of passion. And that's ultimately what's, you know, people are going to get a little bit more open-minded and start looking into it. And it's going to be really cool to watch for sure.
Yeah. I think that's so true. When I stopped being a lurker and started getting more involved, that was really the thing that surprised me the most, coming from this world that has a lot of skepticism or a lot of noise or spamminess, which is like, mm-hmm. kind of the outside world, like coming more into the inner circles, was that I haven't seen any of that in any community that I've been involved in to any degree. So that's something that, you know, I hope can be transmitted more to the mainstream.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it will for sure. As far as, and then, you know, you got involved in SharkDAO. So when in your sort of Web3, I guess, career, did you get into SharkDAO, and how did that come to be?
Yeah, I guess SharkDAO was actually, you know, I think it might even have been one of the first DAOs that I really became aware of. Mm-hmm. It's hard to think back, but I definitely remember learning about Nouns right when the first Noun was sold, and finding it really interesting. And also just, I just love the Nouns aesthetic, which I think is a big part of it, right? I just connect with the whole world that they've created. And then I remember hearing about SharkDAO as a way to kind of get involved with Nouns. But yeah, I guess I became involved in SharkDAO, when was it? Probably November, if I remember correctly.
I think so.
Just really finding the community so welcoming and very, you know, not too noisy as well. I also joined Bankless at around a similar time. And, you know, they run a tight ship and they're great at what they do. But it was almost a little too much for me, to be mm-hmm. honest. Like, it's a little overwhelming. Whereas SharkDAO, I just, yeah, felt a great vibe from the beginning. And I think that's what I hear a lot from others, is that they like SharkDAO for the vibes.
Yeah. I always wonder what Bankless DAO was like, because it's very impressive to see. And we've had someone come in from there and talk about kind of their process and how they like pay people, and then that has transferred over into our comms. So it was really nice to do that. And we are more chill for sure. We're a lot more, we're pretty open because it's so nouns are still relatively new, and then SharkDAO being part of that, it's like, well, I don't know. Let's just try things at this point.
Yeah, and it's also kind of about the fun, which I like. You know, Bankless feels more like, you know, there's different types of DAOs, right? And I'm not saying this is good or bad, but Bankless feels more like a company. Mm-hmm. In the sense, you know, that like I was in the Writers Guild, right? So they're working really hard, writing newsletters, editing them, which is all great. But I guess SharkDAO is kind of an outlet for me. Like it just feels like it's more about the fun, you know, like the Nouns comic that I worked on. Like it's just really fun and creative, and I enjoy that kind of outlet too.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that too. And the Nouns comic was very impressive. I talked to Marxist Millionaire about it and when he was on the podcast, and I'll have to get Maddie in here too. Yeah, tell us about that. Tell us about the comic and what that was like.
Yeah, I mean, I can't take a lot of credit for it, to be honest. You know, a lot of the like the writing and the idea behind it was Marxist Millionaire, and the drawings was all Maddie. But I love the way that it builds up the lore around the DAO. I think that's something that is so important, not just for SharkDAO, but for other DAOs in general, is like this concept of narrative and story, and, you know, building up the vibe of the DAO through the stories that you tell. And I think as we're kind of weaving this narrative with the comic, and then the website is going to have a big part of that as well, and the way that it connects with, you know, with other projects in the ecosystem like Nouns DAO and Juicebox, and, you know, perhaps even creating, you know, a space in the metaverse that represents Shark Island. I think, yeah, it's just been really fun to be part of and to kind of see it unfold. And I'm excited to see how it, how that whole world expands as well.
Yeah, I love it. It's because it's part of the lore. It's like it's part of the bigger part of the lore in SharkDAO. And then there's Shark Island, and then that contributes to NounsDAO. So it's like, we are truly like helping build this, and then other people are creating stories, and it's great. I like that our Nouns have their own little personalities, and we're just starting with these very interesting stories. I love it. It's good.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's really like the heart of what we are as a DAO, or like how I see our future evolving as well, is, you know, creating spaces for creativity and fun. And I imagine if we have, you know, a space in the metaverse, like, you know, maybe we can have parties with some of the other DAOs that we're involved with, and, you know, have more of a bigger content or media presence as well. So I think that's kind of how I see the direction of the DAO evolving as well.
Like you mentioned the creativity and fun, and I think the metaverse is perfect for that. I think that's going to be amazing. Have you looked on CryptoVoxels or Decentraland at all?
I haven't actually. No, I'm not very metaverse literate. I guess I would identify as a young millennial. So yes. I'm not. I guess the furthest I've been into some of these virtual worlds is at the beginning of the pandemic. I played a lot of Fortnite, mm-hmm. And I attended the Travis Scott concert. So from like, I guess I have more kind of understanding of the kind of music aspect of the metaverse from, you know, the perspective of like live shows and things like that. But no, I haven't checked out CryptoVoxels.
Cool. Yeah. I think I found it originally through the juice box, and then I walked around a little bit, but everything else I've stopped into Decentraland a little bit. I'm a little bit confused too. I guess I'm an old millennial, so I'm, you know, there's a learning curve there. But I saw the Nouns fashion show a few days ago in Decentraland, and then there was another one that I've been into, but I just kind of walked around a few. But I'm still learning too. It's interesting, for sure.
Yeah, nice. I didn't know about the Nouns fashion show. That would have been cool to see.
Yeah, I did the spaces with Lost Nouns, and I interviewed her on there, and I retweeted it from the Sharkdale page, and I kind of jumped on after that. So it was really neat. Yeah, I love all that. It's going to be very cool. It's all 3D printed fashion. She's very impressive. Yeah. And so let's talk about the progress from making the doll. As far as onboarding goes, I know you've done a lot for onboarding. You've used Notion. We have a whole system in that. Can you go into the onboarding tool you're creating and how you think it'll help new sharks get involved?
Yeah, sure. So I've been building this onboarding tool, Otterspace, which is, it's kind of in like a beta testing phase now. So the stage rat is trying to improve it and learn what's working and what's not working. Shark DAO is one of the DAOs that's testing it out. So what we're trying to do really is to create clearer pathways for people to get involved. So even if it's their first DAO and they're very new to Web3, that they can still find their way from being curious about the DAO all the way through to being a contributor. And the way it's broken down is into two levels, where the first level is like just getting someone to being a member as quickly as possible and, having them like fill in a form, get tokens if they want to, agree to the code of conduct. So just having that in one place and one flow and just making that as frictionless as possible. And then the second level is about helping people do the right actions that will enable them to go deeper into the DAO. So that could be, joining a meeting or following on Twitter. So things that that can kind of help them integrate more into the community. And yeah, I'm really curious to see, how well it works at, at helping people find their way more easily and, improving it from there and kind of extending it over time as well.
That's really cool. And I know the problem that you're working on is something that a lot of DAOs are trying to figure out too, which is how to get people involved. And I think it's going to help a lot because there are people who want to do things and have skills that come in and, Discord is just something that's used. So it's, it's not like we can just use something else completely. So it's kind of a mess. And I get that it's hard for people to find it. So I'm glad that this initiative like really took hold and you really like took a hold of this because I'd love to have more people like getting in here and really, showing their talents and things like that. Because I know there's a lot of very talented people in like just SharkDAO alone. It's really cool for sure.
Yeah, I think the problem is Discord is one of the problems for sure, that it can just be overwhelming and you don't really know where to begin. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is also, finding like being able to signal your intention of, what you hope to get out of the DAO and then being guided towards that. So if you are interested in being a contributor, that we can kind of pick up on that early on and then help you find, the type of role that might work for you or encouraging you to come into the contributor meetings and get more involved.
Yeah, I love the flow of it. I think it's pretty genius. I think it's going to be very helpful for sure.
Yeah, we can do a retrospective in like a month or two and see how it's going. But it definitely, it's definitely feels like a very big pain point. I think, it's not just within SharkDAO. We're chatting with other DAOs that definitely have that pain point as well. And of course, like not just the DAOs, but the people that are interested in joining DAOs and how challenging and overwhelming it is to find your way.
Yeah. I think other DAOs would definitely pick it up. And I know you mentioned that you were involved in Bankless DAO. Are there any other projects as well or DAOs that you're passionate about or involved in that you'd like to talk about?
I guess Otterspace is the like my other big thing, right? We're not technically a DAO yet, but we plan to become a DAO over time. Mm-hmm. And yeah, other projects that I'm excited about, Bright Moments. I think we chatted about that today in the contributor meeting. It's they do IRL minting of crypto citizens that are based in different cities. So they did crypto Venetians, crypto New Yorkers, and they're coming to Berlin now. I've been hanging out in their Discord for quite a while, back from, you know, when they were still asking around, like, what kind of gallery space they should get and things like that. And now they're finally kicking off with some meetups. So I'm really excited to go to one of the meetups tomorrow and meet up IRL.
Sounds cool. I have a crypto Venetian. I don't know if I've joined their Discord. I think I kind of randomly bought it because I like to follow the art blocks. And I've always wanted to buy something off of there. And then it just kind of stood out to me a little bit. So as someone who works in Web3, is there anything you've learned about balancing like work life, mental health that helps sustain you in all of this?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think a lot of us are facing similar challenges with the overwhelm and the notifications. I guess what works for me is I just try to turn notifications off on my phone, like at night, and you know, just to not get the buzzing all the time, and just try to keep that under control. And yeah, I have that separation. I have a dog. My dog's actually sitting next to me right now. And so going for walks with my dog has always been a great way to have that break from being on the screen all the time. But I think it's such an important issue that we need to talk about more.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I have a dog too. She's a healer, and she was beside me, but then I guess she got bored, but she helps me a lot too. I call her like, she's kind of like a self-appointed therapy dog, but she doesn't know how to do it. So she just like runs up in people's faces and licks them when she feels like they're stressed.
Oh, that's cute. My dog always lies on my feet when I'm sitting at my desk. He just puts his little nose on my feet, keeps them warm.
Oh, that's sweet. Yeah, I think the mental health aspect is definitely important to talk about. And it's difficult too, because it's like, I mean, what do we do? Because if we care, it does get overwhelming and stressful too. So I'm currently working on, you know, what I can do to sustain myself too. And
yeah, I think the notifications are a big one, like, you know, being okay with not replying to Discord messages straight away and feeling like, you know, I think we also need to create more of a culture where that's acceptable, that it's, you know, that you're not expected to be online like every hour of every day. Because I think that's definitely a big contributing factor to the overwhelm, is just the amount of notifications and, you know, feeling like you need to scroll up and like catch up on everything that you missed if you're in a different time zone, things like that. I think that's really tough.
I agree. It's very hard to do that. It's very hard to like just catch up with everything, like you said. I've tried to do that, and now I am to the point where I'm not like replying to people super fast either. So I kind of had to over the past like month. So I think we'll figure it out, because NFTs are so fast paced, and now we're kind of learning that DAOs aren't so much. So there's a lot of moving parts, and yeah, I'm always interested in what people have to say about that. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, happy to.
So you mentioned how you'd like to see SharkDAO go, and you mentioned Metaverse. And so what do you hope to see SharkDAO accomplish in the future? I know that's a big question, and it can mean this year. It can mean, you know, a few years from now. Also, I mean, you can extend that to what you think Nouns is going to look like, if that's, because that would be interesting too.
Wow. I mean, that's a really tough question. But I think what I said earlier about, you know, the whole world that Nouns and Shark are building together, and kind of seeing that evolve into like a bigger media platform, you know, bigger spaces for events, bigger stories and media elements. I think that's really where I see the role of SharkDAO and NounsDAO, and kind of that would be my vision, is to kind of create a bigger world for us and for Nouns.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of Meet the Sharks. You can find us online at sharkdao.community and on Twitter at sharkdao. Meet the Sharks is for educational, informational, and entertainment purposes only. Views expressed by guests and the host do not reflect the views of SharkDAO or Meet the Sharks podcast. Meet the Sharks is not investment advice or solicitation to make any financial decisions. Do not make contributions to SharkDAO in anticipation of financial returns. Do your own research.